a very blessed feast of the Most Holy Trinity. This is the feast day every year where we celebrate and remember that great mystery of our faith, the central mystery of our faith, that we believe in a God that is three persons, one God. Now, in 2,000 years, the church has struggled with, what does that mean? What does that mean to say that we have one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How can we say that they are united while still being three distinct persons? All these questions about what we have come up to understand through divine revelation, what the Trinity is about. And I often comment that we have learned more about the Trinity by what we got wrong than what we got right. We spend more time trying to figure it out, and we make mistakes and have to backtrack on those mistakes we call heresies, because they denied some aspect of the Trinity, some element of the Trinity that was important that we maintain. But yet, ultimately, everything we've learned from the Trinity has come through God revealing himself, because while we can know through reason that there is a God, we cannot know through reason who that God is. And so it had to be revealed to us. So it is one of those revealed mysteries of the Trinity. And part of this revealed mystery is that the unity between the three persons is a unity of divine love. A love that is deeper than anything we human beings will experience otherwise. It is a love that's so deep that God wished to share it with us and so created us that we might share in that love. God wants us to share in his mercy and his love. He desires it completely. He truly is, as the first reading says, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. He truly is that loving. And yet he also realized, as Moses says, that we are stiff-necked. You know, we Montanans, we think we're stiff-necked. Well, you know, that's not just something we have alone. We share it with the Israelites. We share it with all humanity, and all humanity ever will be. We are stiff-necked people. And because of that, we needed some help. And of course, that help, as we see in the gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. He loves us so deeply that he sent the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son, to become one of us and to die and rise again so that we might have salvation, that we might have eternal life. Jesus did not come to condemn us. He, as the gospel says, he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He wants us to share in that mercy and love. And then to top it off, we are given the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, so that we might be forgiven from our sins. When we sin, we fall away from God. We cut ourselves off from God. But the Holy Spirit comes down upon us through the sacraments, especially the sacrament of confession, for those sins that cut us off completely from God, so that we might have forgiveness for those sins, that we might be reconciled, reunited with God, and receive his love and mercy. God is a loving Father. God is a loving Father that loves us and wants to give us everything that we need, everything that we desire that is in union with his will. However, of course, like any truly loving Father, there's times he's going to have to say no. Those of you with children, you know there are times when you have to say no to your kids. No, you can't eat that entire bucket of ice cream. No, you can't go out and play in the mud. On and on and on. You have to say no because you know that it's not good for them. Or it might make you annoyed if they do it, so you tell them no before they do it. Then they usually do it anyways, but that's human nature. But any loving parent is going to put limits, boundaries. Not because you want to punish the kid. You're not looking for an excuse of saying, well, if you step outside this boundary, I hope you do so I can punish you. You're saying stay within these boundaries because it's for their good. It's prevent them from going astray. It's prevent them from being harmed or harming others. Well, in the same way, when God says no to what we want, it's not because he's looking for an excuse to punish us. When he says you can't do X, Y, and Z, that is a sin. That's not because God is looking for an opportunity for, you know, he doesn't have the big book where he's looking for every little sin you did and he's ready to punish you for it. No, he's saying if you go there, you're stepping out of bounds. You're stepping away from me. You're turning away from me and following the world, following the darkness of sin. But if you stay within this boundary, you are staying within my path, my will. His goal is not to limit our freedom. It is to show us what is best for us, to lead him to that great yes, or lead us to that great yes, that yes to a relationship with him, that yes to salvation that comes from him. And of course, that yes that leads to eternal life with him. That is how much God loves us, that he sets up the limits so that we know clearly how to get to him, so we can enter into that love. So if we wish to receive that mercy and love, if we wish to enter into that love, we can listen to the second reading. He says, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So we're told there's four things we need to do. First one, mend your ways. If we have gone astray from God's path, from his will, we need to come back. We need to find those ways that we are not living according to God's divine will, turning away from sin, all that sin that holds us away from him, and turn back to him. Come back to him, mend our ways, mend our path. Secondly, encourage one another. It's too easy for us to use our words to tear others down. We do it so often with gossip. We get upset with someone and so we tear them down. We need to use our words to lift them up. We need to use our words to strengthen them, to encourage one another, especially as fellow Christians. We need to be encouraging one another with our words. Third of all, agree with one another. Now, this isn't marching in lockstep. And this isn't saying that we're going to agree to disagree or we're going to agree to get along. This is seeking the truth that comes from God. That we as Christians, first and foremost, need to form ourselves by the truth that God revealed for us. We have the scriptures in 2,000 years of the church teachings that we is there for us to guide us in seeking the truth that God has revealed for us. And that is what we need to agree with each other. It doesn't mean that we're going to always agree 100%. It doesn't mean we're not going to have differences of opinion. Might even have debates. But ultimately, all that needs to come out of the truth and seeking that truth, seeking to live and understand that truth. And then fourth one, live in peace. We need to seek peace in our world. And it begins first and foremost in our community. We need to find peace in our community. We just seek to always be united as Christians under our Heavenly Father, united as members of the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So we should always be looking for a peaceful solution, a solution that brings unity, not strife and division. That should be our first and foremost of our goal, is to find unity in our community. And we also need to work for peace in the world. We need to always be seeking to bring about peace in the world, even if it's as simple as encouraging our legislatures to find peaceful solutions to conflicts in the world. Even if it's encouraging others to find peace. Even if it's to do the work we need to do to find peace. We need to be always striving for peace and unity as members of Christ, the body of Christ. And we know that if we do these four things, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, and live in peace, the God of love and peace will be with us. We will share in the peace that God wishes to give us. We will share in that divine love that God wishes for us and created us to share in. May we live our lives desiring God's love and mercy for our lives and for those in our communities, in our families, those around us.